This is Military Mondays with Major David Katz.
Major David Katz, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Al. Thank you for asking. Very well, thank you. A little bit of a frog, as you can hear. Okay.
Yeah. So anybody who wants to find their prince, you know what you have to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. David's in studio. Join. All right, Mervyn saying, in fact, the flight crew should have been at the airport before the passengers. I think they should have their wings clipped, i.e. punished severely. That's back to the LL story. I just find it incredible how these are the types of stories. It's that story, it's the kneeling boys of Herzliya, as I've now called them. Those are the big stories. Those are big stories. Erstwhile, Israel gets hammered with nearly 500 missiles. It comes to the brink of war. It gets pulled back, but these are the big stories that everybody wants to talk about. David, why do you think that is?
There must be manipulation to some extent in the news. I mean, it's apparent.
I just wonder if that's the reason, because otherwise, if we didn't care so much, we wouldn't get behind those stories. In other words, they'd publish them and we'd say, all right, fine, whatever.
But it's gone beyond what sells. I mean, I would say to you, in a pure market economy, and if the media was operating in that type of environment, then it's what sells, surely. But can you really say that 500 missiles landing in civilian areas, it doesn't make
it,
people are not interested in that, and that doesn't make the news. People don't want to read about that.
Well, it hardly made the news.
Taking a knee to,
but it did. That's how the South African press. That was the reaction of the South African press. Most of the publications barely mentioned the rockets, and yet every single one of them, every single South African newspaper or publication has covered the kneeling boys of Herzliya. Yeah. How do you explain it?
No, it's inexplicable. There doesn't seem to be a balance.
No,
it's not a South African.
No, I agree with you. It is a thing around the world, and that's what I was saying a little bit earlier. Because, as I say, I wrote an article for Times of Israel on the kneeling boys. Only just because I felt I had to respond by now, and it's the most read article, most read blog on News24 over the weekend since Friday. It's been the most read article. Now that tells me that it's not just South Africans, but people around the world who are interested in it. I can't understand why. Before we try and ponder these things, let's go to news headlines and I'll tell you what you got. Major David Katz in a studio with us, trying to figure out what went on in Israel last week, how the world reacted to it. Zach saying, a missile story is nothing new. If you write the article today and you wrote it last year, nothing would have been different. So people are not prepared or not interested, I'm sorry, to read it. It's the same with Syria. People want something new.
That could be. But I mean, the missile story also precipitated an election crisis in Israel. So that is also news.
Right.
I find it strange, as you do, that it takes a back seat to taking a knee and just
in a pure emotional issue.
Well, take it. He brought Ronnie Casuals out. I don't know if you know. Saw Ronnie Casuals out. Quite a long piece.
I threw up a bit in my mouth,
and then it brought him out of the woodwork.
I thought he was dead. It's one of those people, Ronnie Casuals. Zanetti, did you know he was alive?
No, I didn't know.
I thought he was dead a long time ago. I don't know. Every now and then, some of these politicians should just send us a note to say,
We are still alive.
But you can see that people are using it as an agenda also. It makes it.
Ronnie Kestrel's. Well, it brings the master of agenda. Actually, not even really.
It puts you back on the forefront. You know, you can use these issues to put you back on the front pages, I suppose. So
that's what he did. But why does he want to be on the front page again?
Not sure. I like to live under the radar.
He says on Chai FM with all of our listeners listening. All right, so let's just talk about, let's go back now to talk about what actually transpired last week, because it had to have been one of the strangest military stories, I think. You've got this undercover Operation. Israel sends in people. Something goes wrong. Mm. It seems to ignite. Somebody very, very significant on the Israel side gets killed.
Yep.
Somebody very significant on Hamas side gets killed. But we don't get the impression that that was what the operation was about. It suddenly explodes into one of the biggest barrages of fire that we have ever seen. And then it's gone. And then Israeli government starts to, with this domino effect, starts to dissolve. It's crazy.
Well, it came as no surprise to me that this is this reached a crescendo. I mean, we've been discussing this for months now, that there's been this low-intensity war that had to explode into something, and here was the result of it. It was almost expected that this was going to happen, and it did, and it's taken everybody by surprise. I think what's surprising is how quickly the truce was called after that, and whether both sides were able to extract through the military situation, were able to extract concessions from each other.
Right.
I mean, the jury's out on who extracted more concessions than the other. But I'm not surprised at all that this resulted in a major barrage.
Tell me.
And also, I'm thinking about these Hamas operations. These type of Hamas type of
operations. Right.
This can't be the only one that's occurred in the last.
I'm pretty sure it's going on all the time.
This is an ongoing thing. So the military's done everything it can to set up a situation, and I don't think they can do more. They've instituted Iron Dome, so they've put a counterbalance to the rockets going over.
Right.
So there has to be, at the end of the day, there has to be some type of a political solution. There is no military solution. I think we've learned that also with the situation.
Interesting what David Harris was saying a little bit earlier, that out of all Israel's enemies, Hamas is actually not even the strongest.
No, definitely not, because the real problem is sitting in the north. That's where the real problem is sitting. And this is a mere diversion. This is a sideshow. And I think the Israelis realize that. I don't think it's news to them. But the real problem is waiting on the northern border. That's where things are going to happen. The war on the two fronts, I don't think Hezbollah is waiting to take advantage of Hamas opening up a front in the south, and then they're going to open up a front.
You're saying they don't need to?
I think they're going it alone. And as Dave Harris says, they're a much stronger force. They're a force really to be reckoned with. I mean, the Israelis know they went up against them when they invaded Lebanon, and they were quite surprised how strong the Hezbollah is, how well-trained, how strong, how disciplined, how good their armaments are. So that's where the real problem is. And they need to take care of that.
Is Hezbollah viewed around the world as a very serious problem? I asked David the question, are they involved around the world? And the answer is very clearly yes. But Israel has a very, very direct confrontation with Hezbollah. Israel is in Hezbollah's sight, so to speak.
Yes.
Do other governments and other armies concerned about it, perhaps not to the same extent, but also worried about Hezbollah, or are they kind of ignoring it and letting Israel deal with it?
I think the Israelis are the ones that face the major threat. I read an interesting statistic, is that 160,000 missiles, I think you gave that figure, it is the most of missiles per any conventional army in the world of that type of missile. So they're right up there when it comes to missiles. They're a major threat. I mean, it's the Israelis who are going to have to face them and face the full might of their conventional forces.
Yes.
And that day, as far as I'm concerned, is inevitable. I mean, Hezbollah's not accumulating all this weaponry to sit there on it. They're going to use it. You know what happens with the military is that eventually, when you accumulate enough, you want to use it somewhere, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
Right. So it is going to.
I think it's absolutely inevitable.
Wow. Very.
That day is coming.
Right. Hezbollah's military wing is banned in Europe, but not its political wing, which of course is a complete absurdity, because the whole notion of Hezbollah is carried out by its military. Moshe makes a very interesting point. He says, "Hi, I noticed this time Israel took a lot of care to not kill any civilians in their retaliation attacks. This kept the usual anti-Israel voices pretty quiet. That's from Moshe. So, Moshe, I would say to you that Israel generally is takes very, very real care not to hurt civilians. But I think what you're saying has some validity in that we didn't see as much anti-Israel rhetoric. I mean, the worst it got was an Al Jazeera article reprinted by News 24, where a guy spoke about his university certificate that got destroyed because the building next door to him was attacked. So if that's the biggest complaint, well, I think we should be okay to live with that.
Well, they got it right, as Tom Rock. Yeah. I believe that they've got something that's called knocking, where they send in some light ordnance a few minutes before they send in the heavy ordnance, and it seemed to have worked. People have got a chance to evacuate the building. I think people are learning the modus operandi, and it's saving lives. There's no doubt about it. So the military conducted itself perfectly,
right,
and did what it had to do. It stopped the missile attacks. And as I say, I mean, I think the military did a splendid job, and also in not having huge collateral damage, which is thankfully, because you've got to try and win this propaganda. You've got to try and not lose the propaganda war. And as you can see, Israelis are hiding to nowhere with the propaganda war.
Even if you don't call it a propaganda war, at least get the information out there. Let people decide for themselves. And I think if people want to support one side as opposed to the other side, then, you know, that's okay. But at least know your facts.
Well, we're back to the circle again. We're saying that certain things are reported, certain things aren't reported, and the one side here is at a total disadvantage in that they are not well reported in certain sectors in certain countries. So it's very, very difficult for them to put their point of view over. Whereas Hamas and Hezbollah find it easy to put their point of view over in countries like South Africa.
Right.
It's easier for them. So it's back to where we started.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
David Harris, thank you as always. Fascinating. And what do you think is going to happen before I let you go? With regard to, this position of Minister of Defense in Israel is obviously a very, very important one at the moment. Netanyahu's taking it for himself.
Yep.
Bennett wants it. He's not getting it. Lieberman's resigned. It's fascinating.
I think we're going to have early elections. I don't know what the result of that's going to be. What I'm worried about is this whole polarization. We're seeing it in the United States. There used to be quite a civil debate between right. Can we call them right wingers and left wingers? It used to be quite civil. That's changed. People are taking positions. Positions are hardening. There's no real room left in the center. And the same thing is happening in Israel.
Right.
And attitudes are hardening, and this election is going to be very, very interesting. What happens if a more left-leaning government comes in? But certainly, I look forward to new ideas on how to handle the situation in Gaza, because the old ideas I don't believe are working. I really don't. I mean, we've many, many years down the line, we've tried to apply military solutions to it, and so maybe a new government will come in with different ideas, or different people will come in, and I think we can look forward to that.
Very interesting indeed. That's where we love and leave you. Major David Katz, he'll be back in studio next week. Mark says, hi, is this the reason that Hamas called for a ceasefire so fast? Because they saw the world wasn't condemning and carrying on against Israel. I don't know. I think there's way more to this story than we could possibly understand.